Wow, church, 10 years. This is amazing. Today is a day where we say thank you, God. We remember those pictures that showed up and that pop up. And I got another picture I want to show you. Look at this picture. Before all this was built, we were in a church called Gloria Day back in the day. Anybody remember this? Anybody remember this time? Yeah, you remember this? We were at Gloria Day. And I remember I was 25 years old. I'm 28 now. But I remember I was 25 sitting in that church. And off on the side, there are these pews that were on the side. This was an old, old church. Not this church. This is a different church. And there was these pews. And I remember sitting on the side. This was day one, the first kind of service that we were having, trying to vision this campus. And I sat on the side. I remember as a 25-year-old, I felt that I heard the whisper of God calling me to lead. And 10 years later, I get to be a part of something that started then. And I'm beyond thankful and grateful for all of God's blessings. And you guys are that blessing. This church, this people, the building is the building, but it's the people. It's the people like you guys who show up, who pray, who serve, who give, who go out of their way, who do all the things that you feel God is calling you to do. And so, church, today is a day where it's not just something to mark on our calendar as a milestone, but it is a day where we celebrate God. We celebrate God. Listen, life is life and things are hard, but God is good. God is good, right? And today I want to praise God for his goodness. I want to praise God for his greatness. And I want to thank him for all that he's done. Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord before we open up the scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we celebrate you. We thank you. We make a joyful noise to you. We say to ourselves, if it had not been for the Lord who had been on our side, if it had not been for the Lord who had stepped up moment after moment, time after time, if it had not been for the Lord at work in this community, at work in the people, at work in our leaders, if it had not been for the Lord. So, Lord, we say to ourselves, not just a big thank you, but a continuous, we need you. We need you. We need you because of where you've brought us, but also because of where you're taking us as well. Where you're leading us, the next chapter in our lives. And we thank you and we honor you. Bless us today. It's in your son's perfect name. Amen, amen, amen. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. I don't know if kids ministry would dismiss. Yeah, kids ministry, you are dismissed. Let's open up the scripture. Matthew chapter 16 is where we're going to be jumping into. Matthew 16 is where we're going to be jumping into. Oh, we didn't say hi to our neighbors, did we? Stand up and say hi to your neighbor. Stand up and say hi to your neighbor. That's what makes this church, right? Stand up and say hi to your neighbor. There we go. And then after that, sit your butt down. Kids ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to your neighbor. Say what up, y'all. Say what up, y'all. All righty. You never seen him, say hi to him. Say happy 10 years. All right, go ahead and be seated. Be quiet. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. I'm going to read this. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 18. It says this. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you
are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, verse 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, listen to this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, the older that I'm getting, the more I'm growing more nostalgic, I should say. The older that I'm getting, what I'm trying to say is I'm finding myself always remembering the good old days, right? The good old days. For me, when I think about my childhood, when I think about growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, I think about like AOL. Anybody had AOL Instant Messenger? You've got mail. Remember that? Yeah. You remember those? I may be aging myself. Some of the young people are like, what is that? Don't worry about it. Okay? It was the greatest times of our lives. Am I right? I think about MySpace. Oh, Tom was my first friend, you know. He's a great guy. He's a great man. I think about gym scooters. Anybody remember gym scooters? Riding the gym scooters back in the day? Or let me age myself even more. This was the best day of the week was Friday when I was a kid because we used to always go to Blockbuster. You already know. You the man, Keith. That's why I love you, Christian man. You used to go to Blockbuster, y'all. Blockbuster was the place. I remember walking up and down the every aisle, the games and the movies and all of that. And when I think about those times, when I think about those days, I say to myself, those were the good old days, right? Things are different now, and things may be better and more efficient and whatnot, but those were the good old days. And when I think about our church, I don't have that memory of those were the good old days. When I think about our church and when I see those pictures and when I see you today, the first thing that comes to my mind is God has been at work. God has been at work. And guess what, friends? He's not done working. He's not done working. Today, friends, is more than just a milestone. It's a reflection. It's a reminder of the goodness of God, of the favor of God, of the faithfulness of God. And here's where we're landing at, and here's where we're going to sit on, and here's what we're going to think about as we walk through today, as we celebrate 10 years of faithfulness. We're thinking about this. We're reminded of this. God has been faithful, and he will always be faithful. God has been faithful. And he will always be faithful. That's where we're landing at. That's the very theme of our campus. That's the very theme of our church, that God has shown up, God will show up, and he will continuously show up more and more in our church. And we're thankful for that. God has been faithful. God has been working. But God will always, always be faithful moving forward. And that's where we're banking all of this on. That's what we're settling our whole entire trust on, for God to show up and for God to keep showing up, right? For God to show up and for him to keep showing up time after time. And I love in the book of Matthew what we find Jesus speaks to his disciples. Matthew chapter 16. This is a monumental moment for Jesus and his disciples. He is trying to help them to navigate what he has come to do. What he has come to accomplish. See, there was a time, if you read the Gospels, there was a time where the crowd and the disciples, everybody would grow very confused about Jesus' mission, right? Everybody would grow very confused about what Jesus ultimately came to do. And most of the reason why, because they always aligned Jesus with their preferences, right? What they wanted, what they felt that he should be doing. But ultimately, Jesus was always laying out the purpose of his arrival, the purpose of his death, and the purpose of the resurrection that was to come. And here he is, he's talking to his disciples, and he asked them, who do people say that I am? And then, of course, the disciples, they say, some say this, and some say that. And Jesus comes down, and he says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? What do you believe about me? And then Jesus reveals to them in verse 18, one of his ultimate missions that we find. He says this, the reason why I've come is that I may build my church. I may build my church. And he goes on, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What I'm trying to say is, friends, listen to this. Our story didn't start 10 years ago. It started 2,000 years ago. Our story didn't start with just a group of people sitting in a room trying to figure out, you know, maybe, what can we do and what's the next move? No, our story started with the rabbi who turned out to be the Lord God himself, Jesus Christ. Our story didn't start with us. It started with Jesus. And what Jesus said then is still true today. Because Jesus wants to bring to each and everyone the purpose of church. The purpose of church. The meaning of what church is. The meaning of why we gather and why we come together. And Jesus simply says and simply explains that Christ established the church to draw people near to him. That's the purpose of church. That's the reason why we gather. It's not because we have nothing else better to do. It's because we want to point people to the most essential thing ever in life. All right? And Christ, he built and he establishes his church to draw people near to him. We're not just a place, but it's the means God uses to bring people near. Because the church, we exist. We merely exist. The reason why, again, we meet, the church, we exist to see people made alive in Christ. Right? To see people made alive in Christ so that people may find life in him. The other night, I was putting down one of my boys, and before he was going to bed, he couldn't find his stuffed animal. Couldn't find a stuffed animal, and this stuffed animal is very near and dear to him, right? And he was trying to find it, and he's tearing up his room, and he's tearing up another room, and he's tearing up the other room, and he's just going crazy. He's going frustrated because he keeps searching and looking for the stuffed animal. It's so important to him. He needs it because this stuffed animal represents comfort and security and a sense of peace to him when he's asleep at night, and he's looking for this, and he's searching for it, and he can't find it, and he's getting more and more angry. And then my oldest, he walks in, he says, hey, bro, here it is. Here it is. You don't have to search anymore. I found it. I've got what you've been looking for. And then you should see the joy, the very joy on my son's face when he finally grabs that bear and he brings it into his hands and he embraces it. See, I believe that God gave his church because there is a society that we all are very well aware of that is searching and looking and striving for peace, for comfort, for hope, for security, and the church is set up to say, here it is, Jesus Christ. Here it is. It's right here. What you've been searching for, what you've been looking for, what you've been crying over, what you've been up all night for, here it is. And that's the reason why we exist, because there are people searching. And what they're searching, Jesus Christ, he is the answer. He is the answer. That's to me really why we exist. See, fundamentally, Jesus, he gives to us a church. He gives to us his wonderful gift. Why? So that we may partner to what he is doing in the world. See, the church, it is not merely just us just trying to figure it out. No, it's us coming to God and saying, what are you up to? What are you doing? Because God actively is at work in a fallen and a broken and a dark world. God is reaching. God is pursuing. God is redeeming. And he uses people like myself and like you and like many others so that people may see the truth and the hope and the goodness that's in him. That's in him. So the church was given
so that we may partner with what God is already up to. Because friends, I don't know if you know, God is moving in our world today. Listen, there's a lot of brokenness. You could turn on your TV. Your politician is making you mad again. The very systems of the world are making you mad again. The very things in the nations that are going around make you more and more anxious again. But make no mistake, friends, God is moving. God is working through every sphere, through every moment. And how God works, he uses a church as a means to reveal it. He uses people like us, broken people. Broken people here at Christ Church, we have a tagline that says, real people, real faith, real life. Here's the one thing we want you to know. We're imperfect people. We got struggles just like you, right? We struggle mentally. We struggle relationally. And we struggle financially. We struggle every inchly. Every category, you better believe we struggle. But the one thing we know that is true, Jesus Christ is a really good Savior. He is a perfect Savior. And here's the one thing. God doesn't use perfect people. He just uses willing people. He doesn't use perfect people. He uses people who are willing. He uses people that will say, I got a lot of sin, but I also got a lot of grace because of Jesus. Right, Keith? I got a lot of sin, but I also got a lot of grace because of Christ. So Jesus, he wants to give the purpose of church. The purpose of church. What is the purpose? It is to draw people nearer to Christ. It is for us as a church to partner with him. It's his church. He's at work. It's about making it about him more and more. But then also, I'm going to talk about the proof of church. So we talked about the purpose of church. But now I want to talk about the proof of church. And I want to talk about our campus as a whole and what Christ has built. And here's the one thing that I've noticed time after time after time. God is clearly active and moving in our church. And when our church gathers, it's a sign that he is at work. When our church comes together, you sitting in this room today, those who are watching online, God is working. We have seen people discover the love of God for the very first time. How beautiful is that? We have seen people who have discovered the love of God for the very first time. We've gone through baptisms, so many baptisms, so much water because of so much of grace. One of my favorite moments in baptism was last year on Easter when we did it. We had a number of people being baptized, and there was a gentleman who came out of the water. A gentleman, after coming out of the water, and everybody knows when we do baptism, we all scream and we all yell, and then they turn and they give me a hug, and now I'm all wet and now I'm mad, but it's okay because we're celebrating baptisms, and they hug me. And the person says in my ear, I'm made new. I'm made new. And I remember choking up in that moment. I'm like, I can't cry right now. Like, we got more baptisms to do. But I remember in that moment just seeing this is God at work. Because our church, we have gone through years. We have gone through moments. We have gone through times where it felt like it wasn't working. It felt like it wasn't working. It felt like we were just here and things weren't clicking the way that we wanted it to. But because of moments like that and many other moments, it reminded us God is at work. God is at work. And what Christ has built is a place for people who come and who want to hear about the wonders and the goodness of him. We've seen families restored. We've seen people break free from addictions. Can I tell you, church, we partner with so many recovery organizations here at our campus. It is not even funny. We have multiple AA groups that meet throughout the week. We have a recovery group that meets on the weekends and sometimes throughout the week as well. And it's wonderful to see people
who have gone through that system, who have taken those resources and now have partnered with us so that people may not just be free, but they may be free in Christ. That's what's amazing. What's happening? It is us as a church meeting the needs of the community. It's wonderful to see God and what he has built here at our campus. We have seen people served in a beautiful way. Y'all, can I tell you about our food distribution team? They are the most wonderful, wonderful. I mean, our teams are amazing. But we have a food distribution team. No matter if it's 98 degrees out or negative 17 degrees out, they are out there giving out food to hundreds of families. They are out there in that parking lot, packaging, putting together, and giving out food. God, guys, God has built a church of people who just want to serve. Why? Because God is at work in their hearts. God is at work in their hearts. Their service is not out of duty. It is out of love of God. That's what makes church so beautiful. People who once wouldn't dare wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday. That is God's love in someone's heart. Because why? The builder Jesus is faithful and good. But I also want to talk about what Christ has been building. Because what he has built is wonderful. That's when we look at the past. But what he's doing and what he's building right now, it's an even more wonderful sight to see. And as a campus, we have seen and we have witnessed people who have come together. What God is doing, he is building a community. A community. I don't know if you know, but they've seen it. They went through this study, and they've noticed that people are realizing a life of isolation doesn't work. Took us this long to figure that out, right? A life of just separation, a life of individualism, a life of by myself, it just isn't working. See, God, he created each and every individual. God himself, the triune God, exists within three persons. He's a relational God, and because God is relational, he created you for relationships. He created you for connection. He created you for connection and intimacy with others. And what the church offers and what the church gives is that community at large. Is that community at large. And that's what we've seen God time after time build within our church, or continuously build within our church. A community that loves others, that serves others. Y'all, can I tell you, young people, they want to come to church. One of the best stories I've ever heard was when a parent shared with me that they woke up Sunday morning, had no intentions to come to church, but then their six-year-old walks into the room and says, "I'm ready to go to church. Who's ready to go to church?" And then mom said, "Well, you know, hey, honey, we weren't planning on going. You know, we were planning on staying in." And then the little boy began to cry, saying, "I want to go to church. I want to go to church. We have to go to church." And of course, the parents, they feel guilt. And so they get ready and they go. And they said it was the best decision they made that week, because God was at work in a little boy. God was at work in a young boy's heart who inspired his parents to come to church. There's also a young teenager here who read scripture a couple weeks ago. Listen, y'all, a teenager comes every Thursday to learn about God more. This teenager has baseball coming up, and he's willing to miss some games just so he can come to church. What is that? God at work. God at work. Because when I was 13, last place I wanted to be was church. But God is at work within the lives
of our people, especially our young people. And nothing more beautiful than to see a generation coming up. Because at the end of the day, friends, you and I, we pray that that generation, they can celebrate 40 years. And they can celebrate 50 years. Because in 40 years and 50 years, I'm gone. I love y'all, but I'm gone. But we've seen a generation. And what I love about our church is, one thing we're very great at is that we're people who invest in people. Can I tell you, there were these worship leaders that were up here. It's Logan, and there's Haley, and there's JJ, and then there's Lucas, and then there's Dan. And these four that were standing up front, they all grew up in the church. And now they're all leading in the church. I was once some of their youth. I was their youth pastor. Pray for them. And now they work with me. Pray with them. Pray for them again. Right? And I look out in the crowd and I see so many of the young people that we have made an investment in that still come to church today. They're still part of church because God is at work. Because God has been working time and time again. Christ has been faithful, and he has built us a community of people. But friends, make no mistake, he is still working, and he is still building, and he is still cultivating good. Because when the church gathers, it is a sign that he is still at work. But let me talk to you about the promise of church. Remember, Jesus says in the Gospels, he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, right before this, he calls out this guy by the name of Peter. I love Peter. You want to know why? Because Peter's impulsive. Peter's inconsistent. A bit abrasive. A bit overwhelming. That's the reason why I like Peter so much. Right? And here is Jesus coming up to Peter and telling Peter, and his name was previously Simon, but Jesus changes his name right in the middle of this passage. It says, you are Simon, but guess what? I'm calling you Peter, because Jesus can do that when you're God, right? You can do that when you're God, but I love that he didn't just change his name. He changed his future. He wasn't just changing his name. He was changing the future. And he told Peter, listen, you yourself, you're going to be a big part of what I'm doing. You're going to be a big part of what I'm producing. You're going to be a big part of what I'm building. And Peter, if you know church history, Peter went on to be one of the most influential leaders in the early church. And I love that about God. You know what I love about God? God calls ordinary people to extraordinary purposes. Peter was a nobody. Peter was one day fishing, doing his own thing, and Jesus came to him and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And God changed his future, and God says, son, I got a special purpose for you. If you would just follow me. See, I believe this, friends. I believe the best thing you can ever do, the best decision you can ever make in your life, is to give your yes to Jesus. I believe the best decision you can ever make in your life is to give your yes to Jesus. Your yes to follow him. Your yes to trust him. But there's another yes. Your yes to step into all that he's calling you to be. Today is more than just a response. I'm sorry, today is more than a celebration. It is a response. It is more than just looking at what God has done. Now it's saying, God, what more work do you want to do? What more work do you want to do? And the question I have for you, does God have that yes? Does God have that yes in your life? Because here's the thing about Christ. He's not just looking for attenders. He's looking for builders.
He's not looking for people just to come to church. He's looking for people to be the church. He's not just looking for people that will come and sit and hear a comfortable message, and that's you, and that's your season. God bless you. We're with you. We'll walk with you, all of that. But then there comes to that point where we say to ourselves, all right, Christ, you've been at work in me. Now I want you to work through me. And now I want you to work through me. And the question I have for you today is, does Jesus have your yes? Does he have that yes for you today? My son loves, my oldest, he loves when I tell him stories about my childhood. He loves it. You know what he asked me the other day? We're in the car, we're driving, and we're in the car. He says, Dad, what was it like growing up in the 1900s? And I said, listen here, boy. I would drop you off at another person's house right now. And not, you know, what was it like growing up? And I was, you know, he loves when I tell him about the stories of growing up and the stories of riding my bike and in Strongsville and going up through these neighborhoods and visiting friends. And he loves hearing the stories. And I love telling him the stories. But the one thing that I've noticed is I love telling a story about this church. I love telling a story of where we've been. I love telling a story about where we are. But I get even more excited to tell the story about where we're going. We're not just celebrating what God has done. We're celebrating what God is continuously unfolding. Because he's not done building. He's not done working. And because of that, Jesus will always have my yes. And question I want to ask you, will you partner with us to be a storyteller? Will you partner with us to tell the story as well? Will you partner with us with one day when you could tell people, let me tell you about this church, the people, the smiles. There's this little guy that runs around hugging everybody. Let me tell you about this church. What it's done for me. And how God has been at work in me. And how God is at work through you. What would that look like for you to be a part of that? Today is more than just hearing about an exciting message about how God has been at work. Because Jesus says, I want to use your life for extraordinary purposes. I want to lose your life for more than what you see right now. I want to use every inch of what you've gone through, what you're going through, to produce within others a possible breakthrough to see who he is. How can you partner with God today? And here's the thing, friends. It doesn't matter if you've been coming to church for a week or for 10 years. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. And are you willing to give him your yes today? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm not sitting on the sidelines anymore. I want to get in the game. One of the best things that I did that day 10 years ago. Can you bring up that picture for me again? One of the best things I did 10 years ago. As I walked into our lead pastor's office, tears in my eyes, and I said, I don't know anything about the Bible, but for some reason, I want to lead. For some reason, I feel God's call. That was a day that I gave Christ a yes. And I've been privileged to now stand in the place where God spoke to me first. It's been a journey. It's been a wild one. But God has been faithful. God has been good. And I believe this, friends. I believe this. Christ is speaking today. He wants to speak to your hearts today. Say, I got good work.
Will you partner with me? There are people that need to be reached. There are needs that need to be met. There are lives who need to hear. There are stories that need to be told. Will you partner with me? And what I'm taking this church, because guess what, God, guys? God is blessing this church. Not just because of the people that, the many people that come, but because the lives and the stories that are being told and changed. Will you partner with him today? You give him your yes. You give him your yes to show others the excellence of Jesus Christ. Would you give him the yes to live the joy of ministry? To live out the adventure of faith and to be marked with a lifestyle of generosity. You give him your yes today. I don't care where you are. It's about where he's taking you. That's what matters. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you and I honor you. I honor you because of what you have done and where you have brought us and what you've produced and built in this church. And we will sing of your goodness all the days of our lives. But we also will prepare our hearts for what you are going to do. Because you will build your church. No threat, no evil, nothing can stop you. So Lord, we say to ourselves, it is proof of your work. And now, Lord, we want to partner in that work today. And I pray that you give your people today the willing yes, the yes that says, I want to step into all that you're calling me to do, all that of who you're calling me to be. Would you, Lord, be at work? Would you hear us? Would you guide us? Lord, we believe that you are the shepherd. And as sheep, we're needy. And we need our shepherd to sustain us now, but also our shepherd to lead us forward. And Lord, we move forward with you. We move forward with you. And we trust in you. It's in your son's perfect and wonderful name is who we pray. Amen.